welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Nicola, and for the first time ever, we have a new guest on the show. Vlad or other guests couldn't join me because they have way too much fun right now at GDC happening this week. But I got something better. I got David Catou.
Nice here. To meet you guys.
Yes, you do a lot of stuff. You're the creator of the community toolkit, the UWP community toolkit.
Yep, correct.
You created Babylon.js.
Correct.
You created Worlon.js.
True.
I don't know what else you've created. You've created all kinds of other crazy stuff. You have the Collecto app. You have the podcast app.
Yeah.
And you have the Urza Gatherer app in the Windows Store.
You have a good memory.
So, yes, I do, because you're like my hero.
Oh, sure.
But you make me feel so inadequate. So can you tell me something about yourself that you're not good at so that way I can feel better about myself?
There is a long list. But I think on top of my long list, it's probably I'm terrible in English.
English? Is that what you got? English?
English, yes. Or American, if you prefer. I don't know.
I hate myself. Anyway, well, thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure. I'm proud to be here.
Good. Well, that's you. So you have a great
looks
animation
like
for you.
It's me, yes.
Right? We forgot to go to that. We should have gone to that slide.
And some guy. Look at that. I can move my head out too late.
There you go. So anything else other than what I mentioned that you want to talk about?
Yeah, no, you mentioned everything that I'm working on from Babylon.js to... I'm pretty proud of my applications right now, UWP application. I really like that. I'm using the UWP toolkit to do that. So that's cool.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Well, let's talk about the big thing this week is GDC. GDC is happening this week. There's all kinds of new announcement happening.
I'm absolutely jealous that I won't be able to be there.
If you just want to get a huge rundown of everything that is Xbox related, Major Nelson has a great blog post on there.
Yep.
What's your favorite thing, would you say?
I would say that my favorite one is the one we have on the next slide, I guess, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it's all the Xbox Live Creator Program. As a developer, I would love to be able to create a game and be able to ship it like without nothing else, like just targeting Windows 10 and Xbox. It was the Xbox Live program. I think it was Xbox Live name before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was something that I loved on my Xbox 360. And now we have it on Xbox and Windows 10. Wonderful.
Yeah, anybody can or will be. Now you have to be part of the, you have to be approved for now.
Yep.
But everybody will be able to just go to the store, get a store account, and publish their game to Xbox One without getting approval from
Microsoft.
Yeah,
and that's
really
good for the ecosystem if you think about it. As an independent game developer, there is no wall preventing you to just play with the big players. Mm-hmm. You can just submit your project, and if the project is good, then people can find it and use it. It's just really
and
cool.
All the tools, the SDK is available right now, so people can go download it. It's a NuGet package to get access to all the Xbox Live services. There are a few things that you can't use as part of the Xbox Live services in this program, things like achievements. But the good thing is, if you do want to use achievements, all this other stuff that you know the big publishers use, all it has to do is just go to the ID at Xbox program
Correct.
And just get upgraded to use that program. And that's it. You just get to get an awesome game onto the platform.
Everyone now has a chance to become the new big player in gaming. That's cool.
We also announced for consumers the Xbox
like
Game Pass. Yes, if you're a gamer, basically it's a way to have a monthly subscription. You pay about $10 a month, $9.99, and you get access to over 100 games you can play whenever you want.
If you think about it, it's exactly what we are already doing for movies.
Yeah,
you pay
movies or music.
Yeah, exactly. And for games, makes totally sense to me to have a big catalog of games. You can play it. And the funny part of it is that you can play them even if you're not connected. They will be downloaded on your hard drive, on your Xbox hard drive, on your PC hard drive. And if you like it and you want to keep it without having to pay the subscription anymore, you can buy them. And I think there is a rebate in this case.
Yeah, there's a discount too.
Yeah.
This is really
cool. That's a really cool plan.
And they're going to add more games every month. They might remove some games as well. So there's going to
cycle. It's like a living catalog. It's exactly what we have on music and movies.
Exactly, which is a good thing. So and people can try it out pretty soon, or if not now. Now, speaking of other game developer announcement, we also announced that our new mixed reality dev kits are shipping this month, or they're starting to ship. We announced the Acer dev kit, which is it's a virtual reality dev kit that has a sensor they can track the world. It's
and
kind of like a whole.
It's a really important point because I recently tried to actually try to use a HTC Vive, and it's cool. but I spend like 2 hours to set up everything in the room, and it's like, I don't want that. I want, you know, I'm a lazy old guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want
plug
to
it in.
Plug it in, actually. Yeah. Pour on, put the device, and I'm good to go. And it was not the case. Once set up, yes, it was, but mm-hmm. you have to spend time. Now, with this kind of devices, just use the headset and you're good to go.
Yeah, all the sensors are already in the device, so it's all inside out. So Absolutely. It tracks everything, and this is really cool. So if you're a developer for HoloLens or virtual reality, this is a great way to get on this platform.
There is a great example using Unity where you can, there is like a walkthrough, mm-hmm. like click here, drag that, and you will be able to play with Unity with the all the surroundings.
It's really cool. It's kind of like development for HoloLens, right? It's the,
Correct.
It's the same platform, actually. Which, speaking of, Anita has a great blog post on, which we're going to talk about right after this blog post. After this blog post. Forgot. Now, this blog post is actually about the behind the scenes of the Windows 10 Creators Update bug bash. We recently had a bug bash where we had over thousands of I think over 100,000 quests where people around the world can do and help us out, find bugs and help us find different issues that are wrong with the platform, I guess, with the Windows.
It's fun to have some kind of gamification on top mm-hmm. of bug bash, like hunting for bugs. Mm-hmm. You can find them, you can just corner them, and then you can help us killing them. It's fun to see that. And the numbers is just tremendous, like more than 100,000
feedback items. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
That's a lot of bugs.
I'm just sharing the pain of the people who need to triage them and see. Okay, this one, it's a bug, this one is not a bug, and we need to fix this one. Wow, that's a lot of work.
That's going to take a very long time. This is interesting, though. It also, she says in the blog post that the feedback hub is not something that's only externally visible. It's also something that's used internally by
that's
the teams. So if I find a bug myself on an internal build or some feature that's not available out there, I still use the feedback hub to submit these bugs, and the specific feature team will get access to these bugs. And not many people know this, but even as an app developer, you can integrate your application to Feedback Hub as
Inside
well. So you can have a whole section just for your app. So you can people can click on this, take some Feedback Hub. It's a great way to get.
And it's something really interesting because there is some kind of moderation on top of it. Mm-hmm. So some trolls can be removed and you can have really variable feedbacks.
Actually,
it's not like your application is a pile of. You have more than that. You have the stack trace, you have screenshots. So it's helpful. It's really helpful for developers to have this.
And you don't have to build it. It's already there.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to the HoloLens stuff that we talked about. Now, there's a great blog post on Windows Blocks right now on how to get started with building mixed reality games. This is either for the HoloLens or even for the mixed reality headset.
The Windows holographic stuff, yep.
And this blog post actually talks a lot about how to integrate with the HoloLens special mapping. Mm. So that way you can interact with the physical objects in your world. So that way you have a digital object, it can bump into the real walls or bump into real objects.
There is this, and there is also, if you want to integrate your user as a mixed reality experience, you have to prevent the user to go through the wall or whatever. So it's it could be integrated in the game. It could be also just to help the user understand where is the where are the boundaries of the physical space. That's really cool.
Let's move on to something that's a bit
completely different.
Different than what we had at GDC. Now, this is has to do with the Azure command line tool that we have. We announced the preview of this a few months ago, but now there's a general availability of the command line tools version 2.0. There's really cool stuff here, and then Kamalji goes through a really good, maybe just an overview of what the tools are. He spends two lines of code to create a whole new VM
that's
and start it up and actually SSH into it, which
that's
is
That's
really
interesting
cool.
because based on the philosophy of your life philosophy, you can think about, oh, I prefer going to the website, click on buttons or whatever, or exactly like developers actually, just go to the command line and script it and have just line, one line of PowerShell stuff to just start a VM or check your network or change endpoints like with just command line.
Add storage, new stuff. You don't have to wait for the portal to load. You don't have to wait for anything. You just do it.
It depends on you on your philosophy.
Yeah, so it's a great blog post and everyone can try it out right now if they want to.
And speaking of philosophy,
Tim Patrick has a great blog post or article on his view of what are some of the waves of different types of source code editing tools that we've had in the past. Now, it talks about things that are probably older than I am, so maybe you can talk about some of the things that he talks about.
I went through these three waves, actually. That's interesting. The very first, I would say, compiler that I used was purely command line. So it was command line to, it was C at that time under DOS, the whatcom C for people who know that. It's like command line, please compile this, like CC and dash something, dash, etc. And then I use Visual Studio, it was Visual Studio C++6.
Which is, this is the Wave 2 now.
It's almost the Wave 2. I would say the Wave 2 is like when everything was integrated into one single space, which was not the case for Visual Studio, but at least they added some UI on top of it. So I would say it's Wave 1.5. Wave 2 was clearly everything inside your Visual Studio stuff. Like you can create an application from scratch to the very end without leaving Visual Studio. You can test, you can architecture it, you can do the publication, everything. And now there is a third wave where
kind of going back, it's sort of.
It's sort of going back, but it's also adding a way for you as a developer to live on any kind of platform. You can start developing on your Windows 7, then move to your Windows 10 or your Mac or whatever. There is a sense of cross-platform, which is really interesting. And Visual Studio Code is really great for that. I use it a lot for Babylon.js because we have developers that could be on Linux, on Mac or whatever. And Visual Studio Code is great for that.
Yeah, it works, everyone's cross-platform, and it's meant for people working in teams and collaborating on things.
And it's more about providing support for technologies instead of integrating the technology directly. Yeah. You won't have specific tools for a specific language, but you will have extensions that could be bringed in to do that.
And anybody can do this because it's all open source and it's an open platform and you can extend it in any way you want, customize
it. I like both approach, I would say.
Cool. I mean, yeah, depending on what you're building now, you kind of have to choose either Wave 2 or Wave 3, depending on where
the
technology has gone.
For my UWP stuff, Visual Studio is by far the best option I have. For Babylon.js, I think Visual Studio Code is great.
Yeah, it's faster
too. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Now, speaking of team services, you know, working with teams, Visual Studio Team Services has a weekly digest or a monthly digest. They're in a three-week cycle where they announce new features, and Buck has a great blog post on talking about all the different features they've announced, they've created for this release. So this is a great blog post to read and to, if you're using Visual Studio Team Services, to keep up to date with everything that's going
on. Even understanding how a big team can be really agile, like having a sprint of 3 weeks, it's a big work. We have a sprint of, I would say, 1 month or 1 month and a half for the UWP toolkit. It's already a big amount of work, and they are doing that at a bigger scale with more people. And you can see that they are really agile. They add stuff, they change, they fix. Like you can see the real life of a big project.
And it's great to learn from this too, for people that want teams that want to do this as well. Now, I think all the stories that we have right now. Here's my pick of the week. It's that time of the. I know this is your first time, so I'll go first.
Perfect. Please.
So my pick week is the Faces Behind Microsoft Visual Studio article by Paul Turret. He talks about, what I like about this article is he talks about the history of Visual Studio. Now, for those who don't know, Visual Studio 2017 is releasing next week. Yep. It's going to be the official availability of 2017. And he goes through the last 20 years of what is not just how was Visual Studio built from the beginning, but what was the thinking or what was the environment in Microsoft in general back then, and why was Visual Studio why was it released the way it was? Why was the Visual Studio in 2013 released the way it was? How we moved to align with the Windows schedule and how everything has kind of evolved to go open source and how the environment and how the architecture has changed. It talks about all the different people that have been there throughout the history of Visual Studio and what their opinion is of how things have changed and just talks about all
this. Interesting.
Yeah, it's very good. It's I love these things about the history of how things have become. It's a great way to learn about the future, I guess.
Absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. What's your pick of the week?
My pick is something a little bit selfish. I'm sorry about that. But it's a tool that was built using Babylon.js. And I was amazed of it when I discovered it. These guys, they are now in GDC. And I'm a little bit sad that I won't be able to meet them in real world. They build what I can tell as a PowerPoint for 3D. So, if you go to the website, it's jig.space, if I can remember correctly, jig.space, yes.
And the link's going to be
okay, perfect. So, you will see a list of what they call jig. A jig is an animation in 3D to explain something. So, you ever wanted to know how you can change a tire, or how someone can do a recanal in your teeth, or whatever, this kind of stuff. There is a jig for that. So you click, you can understand how the planet Earth is working, what's the inner core of the Earth, etc. I really learned a lot by just wandering in there on their website. And it's done with Babylon.js, so it's working everywhere. It can even work on your Windows Phone or your iPhone or your...
It works on any browser.
And any browser, you just open it, yeah. Go there, search for a jig for something. I don't know if I should say jig or gig. I think it's jig.
I think it's jig.
It's jig, perfect. So. Yes.
I'm not going to get into the whole GIF versus JIF conversation.
Yeah, that's
right
my
now.
Point here. But I think it's jig, yes. And that's really cool. And they have also an online editor where you can create that exactly the same way you can create a PowerPoint. You can add layers, start animation to explain something. It could be really useful for learning, for educational purpose. Something you should try.
That's really cool. I actually didn't know about this. So it's great to learn about these different tools. Because this could be helpful even for presentations or sending something to somebody.
I absolutely agree. Sometimes we stick with PowerPoint, but 3D can bring something more in because of the animation, of the emotional contact you can have with the information. You can rotate around. You can rotate around so you can see a different point of view. That's something worth trying.
Awesome. So hopefully people will try it out and then go with it.
Perfect.
Well, that's all we got for today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. I know we have a busy schedule, so we appreciate you watching the video. And thank you, David,
thank you very
for
much.
Being on
it
the show.
It was my pleasure.
Hopefully we'll see you back again.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.